All right, that is football music. Football already. Isn't it still summer?
No.
It's August 21st, and week one of high school football season is coming up very, very, very shortly. Good evening, folks, here on WMIC, AM 660, 95.3 FM, and streaming online, finally, right, Mike?
Yeah, good.
At CNLACBroadcasting.com. Click the Listen Live link. All CNLAC Broadcasting stations are streaming. Some original programming here. Kind of changed the name a little bit. Thumb Sports Line Radio High School Sports Show.
Oh, you changed the name? Okay. I was unaware.
Well, you're the host. That's Mike Gallagher. Mike Gallagher, the host of Sports Line from the San Lake County.
Made aware of these decisions.
I love that
the host
doesn't know that they changed the
name. I didn't even know we were having the show today.
He also made it like 15 words.
You wanted to do the show.
Yeah, I wanted to.
Yeah, okay, so there you go. You're the host, okay. I'm the producer. I make things happen.
Okay.
I clear the airtime for it.
All right. Now that we know what the roles are.
Well, you do remember the co-host is getting sold on Swap Shop today.
Yes.
That guy talking right now is Jonathan Bisher at Thumb Tailgater Sports. And is this your first in the studio?
It might be.
I believe it might be, yeah. That is Ashley Winter Palmer, also Thumb Tailgater Sports, and also Sand Lake Broadcasting from time to time, as well as Jonathan for basketball
you
football season.
You must be really bored.
So,
I probably am.
No, I mean, she's probably, I hate to bring up the woman factor in here, but she's the only woman who has done, what, 102.1
yeah.
with me,
Sand
Lake Broadcasting, and Thumb Tailgater Sports.
Yeah.
Most games. Yeah.
She's also the most prepared and organized out of all of us in the TSA.
And except for today. So I don't know. Yes. I don't know what I'm going to bring to this.
Yeah. I'm
we'll
ready.
See.
Yeah. That's Ashley Wayne Apartment. And she can still cheerlead, by the way. So
I probably still could.
Yeah. It's getting hot in here already. I should have, I asked Mrs. Ferry to bring the big fan. She did come, but she brought me the little USB fan there for you,
yeah,
Mike.
And there's too many hotheads in here.
I was
too
gonna
much hot air.
I was gonna chew her out, but that's the wrong thing to do, right?
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah,
don't
obviously,
ever do that.
Eddie.
So, I don't want to get a flag already, a penalty before my first play here. So,
speaking of flags, big change this year
yes.
in football and officiating.
By the way,
there is no penalties behind the line of scrimmage now.
How about that? Oh. Okay, we're gonna get some more rules here, and there's some changes in the thumb area football coverage. Also, a big change come next year. We'll allude to that. Also, this is the first sports line. This is a little bit of a preview. I guess you could say ill-advised predictions. Can something happen that's never happened before, I do believe, in the Greater Thumb Conference? 5 straight semifinals? Am I correct here?
That is a possibility.
Possibility.
Division 8 for a Thumb Conference team. We'll get into that.
Yeah. The Greater Thumb Conference will be what?
This is the last year.
There'll be no more because there'll be a big Thumb Conference come next year. Same thing with the – will they keep their names like – Greater Thumb Conference?
No, it's going to be the Big Thumb Conference. What?
Black, red, white, red, blue?
Oh, yeah, boy. I think black, white, red, blue are the four divisions.
Mm-hmm. What's wrong with violet?
Magenta.
Okay. Oh, it's magenta. Okay. You had the 64 crayon box or 108?
Yeah, I was only 64. I wasn't that spoiled.
With the sharpener?
Well, the issue was if mom bought all on her 180, about half of them ended up eating.
You ate your crayons?
Probably. I don't know.
I once put crayons in my brother's ear. That's a different story.
I've had a pencil stuck in my forehead.
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
So we're talking football and sports, by the way. Okay. We're going to give our predictions and a little bit of a preview and allude. There's a lot of new coaches this year also. Mm-hmm. Some have changed schools or just new altogether also. And on top of that, that's just football. Cross country, soccer, volleyball has started. My youngest daughter's playing again, believe it or not.
Yeah.
She's been attending every practice. I said, if you could only attend class like that, you know, that'd be great.
Class isn't as fun, though.
So, or even Career Center, which, by the way, she passed. Ladies and gentlemen, she's a senior. 16-year-old young senior, by the way. So,
very nice.
Yeah, so congratulations to her.
Yeah.
Get out of the house. Hurry up. Mrs. Fury and I want some alone time. Okay. So we're going to talk a lot about that stuff and our game coverage also. So our game coverage this coming Thursday be high school A player football. We're going to talk about Brown City. Can they continue what they started last year, or are they going to probably reload here? So we'll talk about that. That's our game of the week on Thursday on all high school football games and all sports games, again, on 92.5 WBGV and also streaming online. And then Friday we'll have Reese at Sandusky also on Friday. So back-to-back games. It's going to be a long week.
Nice.
It's already our beginning of a long week for me. So, and then Thumbtoker Sports, have you decided?
Yeah, we got three games this week. Thursday night will be Ubley at Clarkson on Channel 2. Channel 1 will have Forest Hills Eastern at North Branch. So a little cross-state matchup there. And then Friday night, me, Ashley, and John are going down to Marine City to East China Stadium for Harbor Beach and Cardinal Mooney.
Did we do that Marlette Cardinal Mooney game last
year? I was not there with you.
Who was with me last? It was Mikey, yes. Mikey Smith. That's who will be joining me for play-by-play coverage also, Mikey Smith, pulling double duty. He'll be doing that and then racing over to work for his midnight shift also. So,
it's been a long day.
So a lot of great coverage from Thumb Sports Writers Media Association also. I know Scott Bosby's back still at the Tuscola County Advertiser. The previews are getting put together. Mike, you just wrapped it up today?
Yep, we're all done.
All done. Had to be done today, right?
Yeah, ideally. Like we like to get it done before the first football games. I was a little bit unsure last week just due to the fact that the week before was the fair, and you can't really schedule team pictures during the fair because, as you know, everybody around here is pretty heavily involved with the fair.
4-H and all that.
Yeah.
And elephant
showing
ears.
Animals and stuff. So we actually got all of our team pictures done last week. The athletic directors did a great job of working with me to schedule stuff. The coaches all did a great job of having their teams ready. And it was a long week, but we were able to get it done. So
on top of that, you did a lot of summer festival coverage, along with with the fair and everything else. So,
It was a lot of fun. Went to a lot of different places this summer and, got to see some cool things, but I'm ready to be back doing sports.
So. Yeah, what was great was you did a weekly edition during the off sports season, a school of the week.
Yeah, the senior athletes of the year. Yep. That's very a project cool. we started last summer, and we continued it this year, and hopefully it's something we can continue in the future.
All right, and then also the Huron County View, Paul Adams out there. He's the leader of the Thumb Sports Writers Media Association. Ashley is second in command.
No. I just keep everybody in line.
The secretary.
Yeah, I just do all the fun stuff is what I call it.
And then we also have the Huron Daily Tribune out there at coverage. I said Tuscola County Advertiser, Huron County View, Minden City Herald, also Nathan Marks out there. Mm-hmm. He should call in and sing the national anthem right now.
To start us off on our preview.
So, and his coverage has started also. So there was already games started, right, for fall sports season with volleyball. Over the weekend, I believe.
Soccer games are going
on. First cross-country meet was tonight up at USA. We got the Mike Jackson Memorial Invitational this week as well.
Sorry. Inside joke.
We're rolling now. It was not a whole lot going on last week. There was tons of volleyball this weekend. We're going to be hitting it hard this week. So,
in the coming weeks, we'll touch on that because Sportsline will only be on Mondays now. Mm-hmm. And it'll be right after the 5:30 p.m. news, and we'll go as long as it takes. Mm-hmm. We're not going to do Monday and Tuesday. Break it up. We kind of talked about this, Mike. Let's just make it one day, one night. And unfortunately, I had to retire. I'm sorry, Jonathan, from the Thumbtailgater Bowling Sports League on Tuesdays. My daughter's games are on Tuesday and Thursdays for volleyball. So this is her senior year. I got to be there.
Yeah.
Ashley, when you were a young
whippersnapper. Yeah.
Did you love the fact that your parents were there?
No, because my dad never came to my games.
I always played better when they were gone. I'm not going to lie.
Here's my thing. When I was younger, my dad's refereed for my whole life. And so if he wasn't doing a game that we were already playing, he was somewhere else. And so thank your referees out there because they're missing their own kids' games. We only got him on parents' night. He made sure that he was in Harbor Beach on parents' night so that he would do the freshman game or whatever so that he could be there for parents' night.
Oh, okay.
But I don't think he ever came to a track meet to watch me throw discus. I don't think that's his thing. No. But my mom was my coach all through high school, and I got to see her way more than most people probably.
But this is back when I don't think there were smartphones back in your era, right?
No. I had the great old Nokia, whatever it
she
was.
She had the phone line that stretched 100 feet, that could go all through the barn.
I just preferred my parents not to be there. I played better when they weren't there.
To the car, couple miles down the road with that phone, or maybe he shared a line, right? They used to share lines.
I'm pretty sure that our family's probably one of the ones who said, our phone's the longest.
Well, she alluded to the fact that I think you know, I like it when you do come to the games.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I say, hey, regardless how you do out there, just give 110%, you know. You know, win or lose.
Yeah.
All right. So that's a lot going on. All right. We're going to get going here. What do you guys want to start off with?
I say we start with some rules. Let's go over those new rules, because that's going to that oversees all of our conference stuff.
Yeah. We can let Ashley handle that.
JB knows a little bit more about it, actually. I don't get to do the test because my dad doesn't do football. And so I'm not as well versed.
She's the basketball.
I'm basketball and softball, baseball. I can tell you about those. But yeah.
So the big rule change this year for football is. Before last year and prior on, holding penalties were a spot foul. So wherever the foul was committed, it was 10 yards from that spot. That is no more. It is from the previous spot of the ball. So from the line of scrimmage, 10 yards back. So if you have a holding penalty 6 yards behind the line of scrimmage, it's no longer going to be a first and 16.
Yeah.
Or first and 26, excuse me. It'll be first and 20. So everything's from the line of scrimmage back 5 or 10 yards, how many ever it is, there is no more spot fouls behind the line of scrimmage. Now, if a holding penalty, I believe it still takes off downfield, then it is from the spot of the foul. But nothing from behind the original line of scrimmage will be a spot foul anymore.
How do you like that rule?
I love it, because then you won't see the first and 25s off of a play where the guard's trying to not allow his quarterback to get annihilated by a 6'3", 260-pound defensive lineman barreling down.
Or watching those referees come into the backfield trying to figure out where it happened exactly.
So I just, you know, this is something I kind of overlook. How many officials are on the field?
Six.
Or football?
Ideally six.
Six-man crew?
5 to 6. Playoffs are 6. They try to get 6. They'll run as low as 5. Eight-man will go as low as 4.
JV games, sometimes you might see 4 if they can't get enough, but that's very rare. It just
You got your 2 side judges. You got 2 judges in the back, and then you usually got 1 out on the, like, where your play clock is for the on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, and football referees are a little different because they work, they're not singles, they're working as groups. So
the entire season.
So they're a team of the same, and they generally will do all, like, travel together for the same. So you're keeping your same partners every time because you know what those people are going to be doing. A while ago, it used to be singles where you'd go in and you just get put up with anybody that, you know, hey, I'm a line judge, oh, I'm here with this group of 5 tonight. Now it's generally they have a crew, and they travel with that crew. So
there is what? 1 behind each side?
2 behind on the offensive side, 1 on the defense side, then you have 2 side judges. So typically about 5. Yeah. Playoffs, you'll get 6, where there's going to be another guy on the defensive side.
And then one guy's the head honcho.
Yeah, the guy with the white cap is your head honcho.
Okay.
Okay. So any other rule changes to be aware of other than
not that
the holding?
I know of.
Not any big ones. Some some minuscule uniform changes I think I read on there, but nothing that's going to affect anything.
They are cracking down on the knee pad, so make sure you have your knees covered.
Are we seeing any teams using that special padding? Because
that's just practice only.
Just for
not allowed to wear those in a game,
which is kind of silly because, you know, it'd be.
Is there an option to wear that if you want to?
You can't. Nope.
No.
Nope. Because you got to be all matching.
So it's to be one or all. Okay.
Yep.
All right. And I know you're pretty close with the scheduling with the officials. Shortage still out there for
officials? Definitely a shortage. If you played the game, you love the game, and you want to see it continue, I would say sign up. It doesn't take much. I know they're doing a little deal for like first-year referees, and statistically, referees don't make it past the first year. Mm-hmm. That's just what happens because it's the parents and the fans that are yelling at those referees.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it, but if you're yelling, you need to get your butts out there and do it because... Well, if we don't have referees, we don't have games. And so we were seeing a lot last year where games got canceled because they could not find
a
crew.
You're seeing games on Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays now because they can't find enough people.
Yeah, or you have older referees like my dad who's doing, I mean, basketball season's already got over 120 games maybe booked, I think I counted. So we need the youngers to come in, and there's plenty of options for those younger referees to team up with the older referees to kind of get some practice so they're not just going it alone. They're actually getting training. And it's money. They pay you good. So
it's already got me thinking about the retirement plan because, you know, I kind of want to retire a little bit early. You know,
hey,
someday.
My dad says softball umpiring is the way to go.
Yeah. Well, that's the game I, you know, grew up loving and played was really well at.
Not a lot of movement. pretty easy. Games go by pretty quick.
Football's not a lot of movement.
But you gotta you like the elements. That's the other thing.
Yeah. Getting to November.
So it depends on whether you
want to
be out when it's cold and raining, or if you want to stay dry.
One other big change this year: the state finals are held on Saturday and Sunday this year after Thanksgiving, rather than Friday and Saturday.
It's a big one.
Thanks a lot, Michigan State.
I don't think that was Michigan State. I think that was the Big Ten.
Yeah, Mel Tucker was kind of perturbed about that too. I think.
You know, the Big Ten put that one in there.
So who's going to sell out, Michigan State or Lions game?
Lions game's already sold out season tickets.
Yeah.
They almost sold out preseason games.
Yeah.
So, how about that? All right. Good luck to those teams. All right, we got to talk some high school football. When we come back, are we done with that now?
Yep. Done with the rules. Mm-hmm. I think we should hop into maybe some few changes. We're not going to see a ton of changes for that Big Thumb Conference yet.
Okay. No, that won't go into effect until next year.
Because a lot of those schedules were already made before that even happened, and so there wasn't a lot of crossover that got changed around. So.
Okay. There is a slight change, I know that Bad Axe is now in the Greater Thumb East.
Well, we'll get into that.
We'll get into that, yeah.
Okay. We're going to have we'll get into that in just a moment. We'll take a break here and be right back here. And get into the meat of things here. This is the Thumb Sports Line Radio High School Sports Show. Mike Gallagher's show, by the way, from the San Lake County News.
Yes.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Can you go anywhere and find an endeavor in society where we've come to accept and tolerate an adult, and even kids, treating another adult the way we allow spectators, coaches, and players to treat a high school game official? Can you? No one has the right to abuse game officials. So before you blurt something out about that next close call, consider this. Without the officials, nobody wins. A message from the Michigan High School Athletic Association, promoting the value and values of educational athletics.
All right, welcome back to the Thumb Sports Line Radio High School Sports Show. The Blue Water Area Conference 2022 co-champs were Armada and North Branch. John, if you got to see Armada.
And North Branch.
Yeah, and they beat North Branch. Probably earned a piece of that title also. But there was a lot of teams that beat each other in that BWAC. Almont. But North Branch and Armada are the 2022 co-champs. Now, both teams, not one Blue Water Area Conference team, moved past the first round of the playoffs also.
Yeah, the Blue Water Area Conference last year, like you said, they beat up on each other in the regular season. And it showed when it came playoffs because they weren't able to escape the first round. But this year, I think they're going to have a couple good teams. Mike Krozelek should reload pretty good. Mm-hmm. They got a new head coach, though, but they got Espinoza back at quarterback. North Branch, same thing, new head coach, but they're going to have a new quarterback, but they always got tons of athletes. And I think Armada's kind of the team to beat in the BUAC this year, maybe. They bring back a lot of players from last year, a team that kind of burst onto the scene.
Yeah, they got a good running back coming back this year that we saw last year. And then Alma is in the mix, but will Yale Bulldogs and the Richmond Blue Devils make a big bounce back? I think Yale was in the right direction, and they got a seasoned quarterback. They got the same line back, and it starts at the line here, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. They got pretty much everybody back, and the participation is up at Yale. They nearly pulled off the upset against Krozelek last season.
They made the playoffs last year.
It's just so hard in the BWAC on a year-to-year basis. You know, it's going to be hard to get up into that upper echelon, but, I mean, they're right there.
In league play last year, 5-1 is Armada, North Branch 5-1, Almont 4-2, Krozelek 4-2 also. Those are the four teams. Can there be one more? Will Richmond come back? They got a good quarterback coming back also.
Yeah. I mean,
anything is possible.
Yeah.
Because there was a time when at least all of those teams except one will be right there for a league title, if you remember about 5, maybe 8 years ago, where basically it was just North Branch and Almont for quite some time. Then Krozelek really made their strides back also in the last 2-3 seasons. Now, they have a new coach there. Mm-hmm. Have you got a chance to talk to the new coach?
Yeah, I saw him at the Blue and White scrimmage a few weekends ago. Mike Holes, he was on the Krozelek staff back in the day, actually, and he's returning. He spent time at Ionia as a head coach. He was on the Ithaca staff when they won the state title. So, he has the experience. his enthusiasm was fantastic. And like you mentioned, I mean, he's got a ton of talent to work with this year.
Well, and if you were on the Ithaca staff when they were running through that, and if anybody knows the state of football and Ithaca football, he's got a lot of knowledge then coming from Ithaca over there. All those playoff runs they made, all the different things they used to do on offense. You know, they had, what, about a 10-year stretch there where they were the team to beat in the state. And if you watch them year to year, they never did the same thing in two straight years. Mm-hmm. It was always something different. They really catered to what their personnel brought to the field every year. And I think that might be something Coach Holmes could bring to Cross-Lexis. This year we might be a power team. And then the next year they might be spread. You know, Espinosa is a talented athletic quarterback. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're going to ride him as long as they can. And then next year with Grappi, because I believe he's just a junior this year, right?
No.
He's a senior this year?
Yeah.
Gabe? Is it Gabe?
Belly.
Belly, okay, yeah. Belly, yeah.
So he is a senior. Maybe they might go some power then, too, because he is a heck of a running back. So you just don't know what to expect when a guy's got that much knowledge, what he might see in his kids and say, hey, this is the best way for us to succeed.
Yeah.
Looking at the first week one schedule, this is a pretty tough schedule for the BWAC. Croswell Lexington will host Saginaw Swan Valley this coming Thursday, I believe, or Friday.
Thursday
game, okay. Elmont versus Marysville. And another tough is Grand Rapids Forest Hills Eastern versus North Branch.
Yep, we're doing that one Thursday.
Richmond against St. Clair and Armada against Marine City. Those are pretty tough games there for the BWAC to start off. But like I said, it's not based on wins now. You're kind of playing for some good playoff points also. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and to test yourself, figure out what you need to work on after that first week. We saw that with Croslex in the past, you know, playing Williamston week one. They played Swan Valley week one last season. If you're playing in the BWAC, you really want to test yourself in non-conference because you're going to be battling all season in conference play.
That's one thing I like is the BWAC. They go out non-conference, and they're traveling across the state to play these tough teams, and we're starting to see that in the smaller conferences now. We'll get into it later. Teams are really starting to travel across the state to find the toughest competition. You're seeing it all over the state. And the BWAC kind of seemed like about 4 or 5 years ago, they were the ones that started it, like you said, with Croslex and Williamston.
Mm-hmm. And with some of these BWAC schools, or even some of the other schools, sometimes they get an opportunity to play with two or three other games at one, you know, big spot, you know, and some college and all that, too. So it kind of gives you that playoff feel in week one already. Mm-hmm. So, but I think most of these games are home games. Or, away games, So, in week two, pretty quickly, you could say the BWAC chase begins with Croslex taking on Richmond, another home game, and Armada against Yale also. That would be a very interesting game.
Armada-Yale will be a good game. Yeah. Croslex-Richmond has not been very competitive the past couple years, but that's a program that's turning in the right direction. So I could see that one being a little bit closer, which isn't really saying much because it hasn't been very close couple seasons.
And the reason why we say that we think Yale might make another, at least another win or two this year, Garrett Grumman's still the head coach there. His system's now, in his third or fourth season?
I think third.
Yeah.
Third season now, so. Yeah. It's implanted, and you can know that the kids came out because the offense was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty well-balanced offense. He does like to go to the air. So,
And we saw it in the Croslex game. They did a lot of trick plays, and, that's a good way to keep things interesting. But while we're talking about Croslex and the BWAC real quick, just to prove that we have no idea what we're talking about, Jeff Kozel, obviously an official around here, the athletic director at Croslex. You can wear the Guardian caps if you want, but if it comes off during the game, it is treated like the helmet. Play is blown dead, and player is removed for one play. Normally, 5-person crew, 7-person crew, not until semifinals.
That's what it is. Yeah. So, we have no idea.
See, that's why way back a couple years, we proclaimed Jeff Kozel our MHSAA official.
He needs
to
be in the studio with us, honestly.
Yeah. He has been in the past. Yeah. So, yeah.
But
yeah.
He knows it all.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeff.
that's one test I don't take. I do not take the football.
I knew it was five.
I don't know
then
that one.
Somewhere,
that's how we're going to start the show too. Yeah, nice, very nice, guys.
We never claimed we were experts. So.
We had to set the bar low at the beginning of the season, so when we get to the end of the year, we're where we expect to be.
No, it's going
to
take us all year to figure out what we're actually talking about.
All right. So in 2 minutes here or less. Your pick for the Blue Water Area Conference will be another co-champions or maybe tri-champions. Is it possible?
Yeah, I mean, anything could happen in the BWAC, but, since it's the beginning of the season and since, we get all excited about our own teams and stuff, I'm saying Croslex wins it. I have no facts to back that up. I don't know anything about Armada or, you know, anybody else in the BWAC, but Croslex just has so much returning this year, offensively, defensively, along the offensive line. They have the potential to be a very, very, very good offense this year.
And since the Miller Sports Times best coach of all time has left the area, who is the best coach right now in the BWAC?
You know, it's weird because there's a lot of new coaches in the BWAC.
Yes.
Grunman might
at
be
North
one
Branch.
Of the longest tenured coaches.
Grunman
right now.
Or the guy from Armada?
Yep,
he's been there a few years. He's been up there quite some time.
Yeah. The Richmond guy's been there 3 or 4 years. So yeah. a lot of new faces in the BWAC. So.
And they've all made good strides, too, also. I mean, they've
absolutely
picked their teams up here, winning games and
you know,
BWAC titles.
It's unfortunate because in the postseason last year, the BWAC had a big opportunity to kind of, you know,
put the conference on the map.
Yeah, and it was unfortunate because, you know, they all lost in the opening round.
Well, that was
playoffs,
a one-point loss for Armada in the first round of Flint Hamity, but they could have had that
one. But it's a great football conference, one of the best conferences top to bottom in the state, and it's going to be a dogfight this year.
Okay, 6 o'clock hour. We're in overtime, and we'll be back for more coverage of the Thumb Sports Line Radio. High School Sports Show, we'll be right back with Ashley Winter-Palmer, Jonathan Butcher, and that is Mike Gallagher. We'll be right back.
You're on the Thumbs Information Station, 660.
All right, back here on the Thumb Sports Line Radio High School Sports Show. I'm Eddie Fury, along.
I have a proposition. We need to change that name because you have already forgotten it.
I forget it every week.
And it's too long.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, it is what it is. But it's already in the paper. Just saw the preview of the preview from the Sanlac County News and all the newspapers. Please pick up your newspapers and previews this week and support them. Backbone of the coverage of high school sports.
Yeah, without Mike, the show would really be lost.
And he's lost right now, in fact. He's not in the studio.
I think he walked the girl in the office next to us out to her car, and I don't know what happened.
Still walking. Well, she might be parked away because they're doing a lot of road work around Sandusky right now. All right. Greater Thumb Conference, East and West. What would you guys like to start off? Let's start off with the Greater Thumb East. The Ubley Bearcats went to the state finals again last year. We were there for that one. That was even broadcasted on the radio, and it was produced by the Thumbtucketer Sports Crew here. Jonathan, Ashley, and Sir Philip Nicol out there on the Channel 2 webcaster that will be doing a game this week also. So who is his partner this year?
John Crager.
John Crager, great. Coming on board. He made it through the blizzard with us.
Yes, he did. He did a few games with us last year, and this year he said he's along for the full season. So him and Phil are going to team up and take care of Channel 2. Me and Ashley are going to rock Channel 1 with the occasional sub in there because sometimes Ashley's busy with weddings and other people are busy. So I'll be rocking Channel 1 with a variety of people, we can say.
Okay, so the Ubley Bearcats, obviously they're the most favored in the Greater Thumb East. Do they still have the same horses? Do they have the same litter coming back and now full-grown cats pouncing on the Greater Thumb East? A little bit of a minor change in the East. The Bad Axe Hatchets are in the East now. But Ubley, Harbor Beach right now, I think still the top teams. The dark horse, who could it be? Bad Axe, Marlette, or Sandusky this year?
The dark horse in the East, I really got to say it's probably going to be either Marlette or Sandusky. Marlette's got a lot at returning, if I remember correctly, Mike. But really, honestly, I think it's Ubley than everybody else. Harbor Beach is probably that next closest, but they are an extremely young team this year. So as we know, that can go either way with teams. You can either have a very good year or a lot of things can not go your way. And Harbor Beach has got an extremely tough non-conference schedule. They start off the year with Cardinal Mooney, who is a district champion. Then they got Cass City, who is supposed to be the team to beat in the West.
Yeah.
And then they got Lakers, who's the top team in the West. And then in week 9, they finish off against Beale City. So Harbor Beach might have the toughest Division 8 non-conference opponents in the state.
Yeah, I think we talked about that. We've been talking a lot about the hardest or the toughest schedules, and Harbor Beach definitely got one of the toughest. But their roster is – the numbers are good.
For Harbor Beach?
They got 20 kids on varsity right now.
Okay.
Just, they're extremely young.
Yeah, and they're just – but a lot of them are already – a starter from varsity last year. So let's hope that 1 year on varsity is going to make it a little bit better to have a little experience under your belt rather than just starting all freshman. Because you got Shea Woodkey, who is a senior this year, and he's just a workhorse. Like, you give him the ball, and he's running it up the gut every time. Benson Harper, he's going to be a sophomore. He was your freshman last year on varsity. Rogan Messing will be a sophomore. And then your quarterback was a freshman last year, took over for the injured Tanton Babcock, and did a pretty good job, I thought, taking over as a freshman on varsity, Caden Buchholz.
Harbor Beach last year, by the way, overall record 8-2, two losses, 4-1. That loss, obviously, to Ubley, who are the overall Greater Thumb East champions. Ken Ubley, I alluded to this in the last hour. Could this be, is it possible to make a fifth straight semifinal? Very tough, by the way.
So their road to the state finals just got a whole heck of a lot tougher this year. Yeah. New Lothrop is now in Division 8. Ithaca is now in Division 8. Montrose is now in Division 8. So it's doable for the Bearcats because they're returning their two of their better players, quarterback Evan Peruski, of course, and then the hero.
He's back?
Yep, for his fifth year, it seems
like.
4 years.
Okay.
Yep, 4 years.
Been on varsity for like 7 years.
Yep.
Well,
Seth Maurer, the kind of the chosen one in the state final game, had himself a career year there or career night there. He's back, but
you mentioned Montrose. That's who Ubley plays in week nine.
Yeah. So the Bearcats, I think a district championship's well and within reach for them. After that, when you start talking about New Lothrop, you start talking about Ithaca that you might run into the second or third round. It just got a whole heck of a lot tougher for the Bearcats to maybe get back to semifinals, if not Ford Field, if that's what they're in search for.
You talk about some of those teams like New Lothrop that came down. Is it because more teams going to eight player
teams are going to eight player, which we had nobody in the area this year dropped to eight player, right?
No, but
last year we had two in Brown City and KPAC.
Yeah.
Nobody this year, but across the state, yeah, eight player is gaining such momentum that these divisions are getting smaller and smaller, 1 through 8, that these bigger schools, in sense, are coming down to Division 8, playing these smaller schools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Deckerville did drop down to Division 2 for 8 player
really?
This year, so that could be pretty big for them.
Cool.
I mean, both divisions, they're both very good divisions. So
I wouldn't be surprised if we see a Division 3 and 8 player come up in the next few years.
Yeah, that's
just
what we need,
just with the influx of teams,
yeah.
But then we also might lose a 11-player division. Which that's going to hurt a lot of our 11-player teams in the thumb. Hence, right now, Ubley and Harbor Beach having to play these New Lothrops and Ithacas in the playoffs now. It's going to make it a lot difficult. But like we said, Ubley's returning. Peruski, who's year 4 at the helm at quarterback. They got Seth Maurer. Their offensive line, they're only returning one offensive lineman from last year. So that's really going to be the question for the Bearcats. You talk about their dark horse, Sandusky, last year. Mike, they were a very young team.
Mm-hmm.
They got a new assistant coach, though, this year, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
And Marlette returning a lot of people, including a quarterback that's very talented.
Yeah, Marlette is the dark horse in the East. You know, nothing against Sandusky. You know, they're going to be a lot better this year as well, just because of the fact they suffered so many injuries last season. And with Sandusky, they were playing great football at the end of the season. So Sandusky's going to be great this year. But Marlette, just some quick numbers for you. They lost 2 players from last season. Mm. You know, so last season, you know, that wasn't supposed to be their year, and I think they surprised some
people.
Five and five.
Made the playoffs.
Held in there with Cardinal Mooney for 3 mm-hmm. quarters.
Yep, so they were ahead of schedule last year. They have 9 starters returning on offense, 9 starters returning on defense. But this is the number right here. They returned 99% of their rushing attack. And it last season, it was a lot of different guys. Obviously, Quentin Sarton at quarterback, he kind of made the offense go. Logan Molloy, Tyler Isidoric, Wesley Chapin, he's kind of like the jack of all trades for them. So they have playmakers. They have the experience.
They have the offensive line.
Yeah, the offensive line.
Their type of offense still spread, but they still mm-hmm. run and, you know, pass.
It's the spread, but it's a run-heavy spread.
We're going to get the numbers to our side, and we're going to run the ball to the edge where we think we have the advantage.
You mm-hmm. mentioned the holding penalty. You think that's going to affect Marlette more, especially with the spread offense?
No, it's going to help them.
It's going to help them, okay.
Yeah, because you're not going to ever face – if it's 1st and 10, you have a holding penalty behind the line of scrimmage, no longer are you going to have a 1st and 25. Yeah. The worst you're going to have is a 1st and 20. So it's going to help the offense is what it's going to do. Now, that's still tough to overcome when we're in Division 8 with these teams that just like to run the ball and not throw the ball. Still going to be tough to overcome, but it should help our offenses in general.
You wanted to carry on here?
The one question mark for Marlette is going to be the defense. That was a unit that kind of struggled last season. Coach Lester is the first to admit that. But that's something that they focused on this offseason. And if they can, you know, get that defense on par with where their offense is at, Marlette is definitely a dark horse in the East. But, you know, with Ubley sitting there, those are the type of games where you got to be able to play defense. That's going to be the big question mark for Marlette. But offensively, they have the potential to be the best offensive team in the East, and that's really saying something.
So which team, Ashley, you think has the better chance of beating an Ubley? Harbor Beach or Marlette? Or a Sandusky? Or a Bad Axe?
What really stinks is I saw a Marlette last year that I saw get run over. Their defense was not there. Mm-hmm. And so if you have a team that's a high-powered offense that can put numbers on the board quickly, it's not going to help them any. I mean, they're going to have to outscore them, basically. Like,
if you looked at last year, there's only one team that outscored Ubley. And it was because it was in the 20s because they had a stellar defense, and that was Whiteford in the state championship. Yeah. Otherwise, Ubley put up 42 points or more on every single team. So unless Marlette gets in an absolute shootout with them, that's the only way they're going to beat them. Harbor Beach might have the defense to beat them, but does Harbor Beach have the offense to put up the points? Because they're going to be so young, and Ubley's defense has been so stout over the years. It's going to be tough for any of these teams really to pull off the upset in the East. With that being said, I don't think Ubley's a 9-0 team this year.
Mm.
I will go out and I hope that I'm wrong and our thumb football does not take a step back. But with Montrose in week 9, with Cassidy in week 8, and with Clarkson Everest leading off the season in week 1, who was a state semifinalist team last year, that is another brutal non-conference schedule. And I hope the Bearcats prove me wrong, but they're going to have a tall task to go 9-0 and run the table this year to repeat as East champs.
So, yeah, they got Lakers, too. So
Marlette's getting hit right in the mouth right away because they've got Ubley week 3, and then they've got Harbor Beach week 5. So that'll be a nice little gauntlet for them to run through.
Interesting.
Yeah, we'll find out pretty quick. Yeah.
Interesting game. With Carroll's got a new head coach, and that's who Marlette will play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rob McDaniel, longtime coach of the Peck Pirates.
Yeah. And one-time Yale coach.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. So, yeah. He took one season off to be an assistant coach at Yale, and then came back to Peck the very next year and continued the strong tradition they had there at Peck. Great run for him. He won a state title. He was a state semifinalist the year after, and I think he's exactly what Carroll needs.
Yeah. Stability.
Stability. Yeah.
Speaking of stability, Bad Axe and the Gritter Thumb East. They had a coach, and then another new coach.
Didn't have a coach. Now they got a coach.
Yeah, now they got a coach. They move over to the East, which is going to be a brutal.
them and Cassidy switch is
they flip-flopped. Yeah. This is the last year of that. They flip-flopped when Brown City and K-Peck fell to 8-player football. Bad Axe and Cassidy were the rotating figure is going to be for the Greater Thumb Conference. This is the last year of that. The Big Thumb Conference will come in next year. They'll realign divisions completely for football based off school size. But Bad Axe moves over to the East after finishing second in the West last year. And I think they will be happy if they finish anywhere between third and fourth in the East this year.
And lucky for Bad Axe, they get to play teams like Memphis, Like, unless you can prove me wrong, I got to see something. But I think Bad Axe is lucky to get four wins this season just based on the fact that they're losing so – they lost a lot of talent.
Mm.
I mean, you lost Keaton Brown.
Are low.
And yeah, their numbers are not great. And it's hard to build a program when you have the coaching moving all the time.
This is their fourth coach in like six years.
I think. So I think maybe once they can get the new coaches in, maybe he can get something started where let's build from this. But until that happens and you see a new crop of a very athletic class like they had last year as seniors, I think it's going to be a little bit before Bad Axe can get back up there in the West.
Okay, and the Sandusky Wolves.
Yeah, Sandusky, they're going to be a lot better this year. Again, they battled some injuries last year.
They kind of hung around for a couple quarters last year, but then they kind of, you know,
well, and it was tough last season because they started off with Lakers and Bad Axe right off the bat. But, you know, later on in the season, they hung with Cass City. That was a touchdown game. Harbor Beach game, 28-6. And then you finish the season with two impressive wins against Reese and USA, beating them by double digits, scoring 40 points in both games. And the schedule is pretty favorable for Sandusky this year. You get the non-conference. You start off with Reese and Vassar. You know, obviously, I'm going to show my Sanilac County bias here, but I think Sandusky's the favorite in those games. And then you close the season with Caro and USA, which Sandusky should also be the favorite in those games.
Sandusky very easily, if they take care of business against Memphis, which they should, if they take care of business against Bad Axe, they very easily could be a 5-4, 6-3, sneaking into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what this program needs. Hey, we've had a couple down years, but we're back on the rise. We made the playoffs. Yeah, we might not be where we want to be, but it's a step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Get the program numbers back up. Show these young kids that just because we have two down years doesn't mean we're not a bottom eater.
Yeah, and they got the running backs this year. Carter Krause is going to have a big season. He's going to be another back.
Say that again. Who?
Jackson Reinke.
Okay.
Reinke?
Yep.
Okay. And then Danny Tovar, you know, he's a junior. It's his third year on varsity. He's going to be an impact player for them. So it's so tough in the East with, you know, your Harbor Beach, your Ubley, and your Marlette. But, you know, as we mentioned, it's a favorable schedule for Sandusky. Marlette's a rivalry game, so you know that you never know how that's going to go. But I'm predicting Sandusky will be a playoff team this year.
Okay, so you know our ill-advised predictions for the Greater Thumb East champions: co-champs or lone champ?
I think Ubley's outright champs.
I think Ubley's the lone champ, but I think you're going to have a battle at the top. I think Harbor Beach, if these young players can play like they did last year. You might have a little bit of a fight on your hands.
Ubley's going to be an extremely young team. Besides, they're only returning three starters on or four starters on offense, so they're a very young team.
And you don't think, but you don't think they'll go undefeated?
I said it's going to be tough for them to go undefeated. I don't know if they will or won't, but where they're having the advantage and experience is, like Coach Sweeney said, for these past four seasons, our kids have a whole extra season of practice from all these playoff runs they're made. He goes, that's where we gain our experience. Being young, he believes that's an advantage for them.
So, and Ashley, you're saying Harbor Beach is right there?
I'm saying second. A close second, just close because second. Last year it wasn't much of a fight with Harbor Beach and Ubley. That's a big rivalry, though. You never know what happens with that game. It could come down to three overtimes and somebody wins, you know, like that's what we had a few years ago.
And then I would say it's Marlette-Sandusky right after that.
We'll see that real early with to see if they can hang with the Ubley and Harbor Beach.
Could Marlette maybe sneak in second place?
Marlette's winning the East.
I like that.
Someone's got to be different.
Yeah.
That's like
way to be bold.
What's the fun in picking Ubley?
Hey, what's Vegas's line?
Oh, I don't know.
That's like an Eddie Fury versus Chris Wilcox gambling bet.
You're going to lose some money there, Mike.
All right, we'll be right back. We're going to check in with a weather forecast, John McMurray. We'll be back with a Greater Thumb Wild West. Sounds like fair music.
Sounds like a circus.
This is a circus. Look who's running the show.
Yeah. What are you talking about? This has been a pretty good show so far. You got to admit.
We haven't gone off the rails that bad.
I tried to butter you up with food.
You did very well.
He did feed us dinner.
You're
that
welcome.
Was nice.
Yes. Well, I appreciate you guys coming in. By the way, a lot of great media coverage. Tuscola County Advertiser, Scotty B is going to be calling in?
Yep, he's leaving the USA invite right now, getting some cross country, so we'll have him on the line pretty soon here.
Is that too far for you to drive, Mike?
Yes. No. No, I'll be in CrossLex this week, and then we got the Brown City Invitational next week, so that's when I'll be catching all my teams.
So you're going to be out 6 days a week?
Yeah,
and then working on the paper come Sunday.
6 days a week, and then, you know, putting things together on Sunday.
All right. The preview comes out this Wednesday also, right?
Yes. Yep.
In the Sanilac County News. Pick it up.
Yeah, we also have the Fair Memories section in this week's edition, so lots going on.
Yeah. I had a goat that started eating my shorts. It's all because of that the jelly that fell off the elephant ear on my pants. It started, and I felt something tugging. I was like, I thought it was my daughter, and it's a goat eating my shorts.
Hey, I visited you at the fair, Eddie.
You did. And weren't the fireworks kind of cool?
They were. Yeah. I didn't know that was going to happen.
Yeah, and it rained. You came on a rainy night, but
Yeah, but we like the Sanilac County Fair. So.
Mm-hmm. I do, yeah.
It's a good fair.
All right. So on the line right now with us also is Scotty B from Tuscola County Advertiser. How you doing, buddy?
Hey.
Hey.
Strong.
Boy, great entrance there.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear us?
I can hear you now.
Okay.
I'm up here in Huron County where I have very low service, even though I am with the talk of the thumb. That's all I'm going to say.
That is par for course right now. Okay. It is pretty brutal up there.
Well, you know, you just need to pull into Lugol's. There should be a good signal there. So,
I wish I was over there. I'm in the western portion.
He's
of
out in my
Huron
neck
County.
Of the woods right now.
Oh, okay. We're going to talk about the Greater Thumb Wild West. Last year in the West, Lakers, of course, is one of the top teams. They were 5-0, 10-2 overall. The second place team was the Bad Axe Hatchets at 6-4, and 4-1 in second place. But this year, a little bit of a change. Bad Axe is in the Greater Thumb East now, and Cass City's back into the West. And I'm just going to go out and say it. Lakers kind of heavily favored at this point here, Jonathan.
Well, they are the defending champs, but I really think it comes down to Cass City over Lakers. Lakers lost a lot this last year, and Cass City returns a lot. With that being said, for Cass City to become the champs, you got to dethrone the champs.
Yeah.
With Lakers sitting on top. So, yes, it is Lakers' league to lose, but I really give Cass City the chance of that, and I think Scott's going to back me up on that. This is a team that's returning a lot, and they're relatively young with some very good players that are young too.
Yeah, Scotty B, Cass City Redhawks, you know, a little bit of it was a down year last year. I know they're kind of reloading. Are they fully loaded this year now?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the squad last year, they started off kind of rough. They really picked up steam at the end of the year. They looked really good at the end of the year. They got the run game going. Typical Cass City style, keep busting it up the middle, hitting the outside, and throwing a couple passes here and there. Your typical, I guess, hard-nosed football thumb style. But, they bring back a backfield that is, I think they rushed for nearly 2,000 yards last year. Riker Wallace, a freshman last year, rushed for over 700 yards, I believe. And then you got Landon Schott back there. And, they're going to be a very good squad. They have a good defense coming back. A lot of returning players. So that's going to be kind of the name of the game for Cass City is returning. But I think Laker, right away, we're going to find out a huge test from them as they open up against Millington. And that's going to be a dandy.
That's always a good test. And it's good that it starts in week one, so you know where you're at right away with a very tough team. And, with the lineage this team has had of Millington in the Tri-Valley Conference. Tell me a little bit about at least Millington this year. Are they going to keep doing what they've been doing the last, what seems like forever now?
Yeah. 19 straight playoff appearances. It's been I think the streak as far as winning seasons goes back to the year I was born, which was in 1987. So I feel old, but to some of you guys out there, you're probably like, oh, you're young. But it's been a long time since they've lost or they've had a losing season. I think it continues this year. Talk to the coaches a little bit. They want to see their front line get a little tougher. Hearing the front line needs to get tougher and going into a Laker game where they usually have a ton of beef on the line coming at you, could be a little worrisome for Millington, but they got some pretty strong boys up there, and I think that they're going to come back. I think they're going to have a good season this year. They got some tough battles, though, in their conference with Bullet Creek and Standish Sterling, so it'll be interesting to see how they do. And I did a little bit of preview coming in to this game between Millington and Laker, and the respect between the two teams is unreal. And the one thing that they kept saying is they're excited about the rivalry. They're excited about the new rivalries they're going to be building with the Big Thumb Conference coming up. So that just gets me even more excited for next season.
All right, Sima, did you want to add something? Okay, so that's probably the biggest week one matchup in the Greater Thumb West with Lakers up against Millington. Are you guys covering that game?
Yeah, I am. I'm going to go up there and never call the game from there. So we'll see what it's all about at Laker Country.
All right, let's talk about the Greater Thumb West. Cass City Redhawks, you touched on them. You think it could come down to those two teams, Lakers and Cass City. Who's your next team on that list that could make me maybe show up this year for at least a third place or a second place possible team?
I think you got to watch out for You know, it's going to be a lot of teams with a lot of question marks, but Vassar, I think, out of all my teams, had the least amount of question marks going into the season. They got their coach coming back. They got a bulk of the players coming back. I think that they got their it figured out a little bit more. Carroll's got a brand new coach. USA is dealing with some problems, injuries, numbers, all that good stuff. Reese right now, a lot of question marks. Some, you know, big names are gone. I really think that Vassar could be one of those teams that are going to be battling. Do I think that they're on the same level as Laker and Cass City? Not quite yet, but I think that they definitely could make you say, oh, okay, they've gotten a lot better.
Also, you have Carroll and Marlette, new first-year head coach of Carroll. Rob McDaniel, he was at the eight-player game with Peck for so many years and did one season with Yale. How do you think he'll change the culture there in Carroll, which, you know, it seems like every year they've had problems trying to change that culture, trying to put that program back on the map here. You think he's the guy for the job?
Yeah. I think as far as building the program back up, yes. I think he is the guy they needed right now. He is going to be a guy that comes in there. Kids want to play for him. I've already been to a couple. I've been to a practice, been to a scrimmage. Kids love him. The coaches love him. The community loves him. He's just a likable guy. I know Mike can probably attest to this. He probably has some choice words about him during this playing time, but Rob's just a great guy. He's just a good guy, and he really wants the best for the kids. Three coaches in 3 years, it's hard to get a program on a roll doing that. I just hope Rob sticks around a little bit. I hope they give him the chance to stick around a little bit, and I hope that he does help Carroll try to turn that corner.
All right, and the Reese Rockets will have Sandusky, your alma mater, where you graduated from. Yeah. What's your pick on that one? I just want to tease you about that one.
Oh, you know, I'm actually going to make my way back there. They're going to roll the red carpet out. I'm going to come back and check that game out on Friday.
So you're going to hang out with Mike is what you're going to do. There.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. I'm going to go from what I've seen and what I've seen returning. I'm going to say Sandusky, but I think it's going to be a good game between two teams that are going to be – that are building back up, that are trying to figure out their identity. I'm going to lean slightly to Sandusky.
All right. Scotty B. and Unionville Sebring, they do have the numbers. Are they going to be able to field a team? I know they had injuries last year.
They're going to be able to field a team. They do have a big concerning injury. I don't know if you guys have talked about it or not. I don't want to be the one to spill the beans, so... it's going to be a glaring omission when you watch the games, but there's a huge piece that is hurt right now, and from what I understand, won't be back this season. That's what I just heard at the cross country meet. I don't know, but it's going to be tough. You know, Coach Hahn's a great coach. They have a great pedigree up there. They have they know how to win games up there. It's just getting everything together. No JV squad, so I guess that helps and hurts, I guess, a little bit, because kids won't get as much playing time on the JV level. But, you know, it's really tough right now for USA. And it's in the Greater Thumb West, you know, that's a tough place to play anyway. And I think they're going to have the numbers, but it might be a rough season for Coach Hahn and the Patriots.
All right, Scotty, thank you for calling in, and good luck with the coverage. Looking forward to have you back in the program also in the coming weeks.
Hey, I wanted to give a shout-out to Lila Kylie of Kingston. She just won the girls' race. Surprise, surprise, Kingston girls won. And then I apologize. I don't have the kid's name from Harbor Beach, but he won the boys' race by a long is there a Carg up there? Brady Carg?
Brady Carg, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, he won the boys' race.
Nice.
So congratulations to those two starting off the season on the right foot, so to speak.
All right. Scott Bowlesby of the Tuscola County Advertiser. Will you be calling games on 92.1 also?
Yeah, unfortunately. No, I'm just kidding. yeah.
Okay.
He's pulling double duty.
I'm back in the saddle again. Yeah, I'm doing it again this year.
Who's your partner this year?
Your guess is as good as mine. it's a week by week basis right now. Christian Zalek's actually going to be helping me out in week one. So
good man. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. So, thank you.
All right, guys.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh,
we lost him.
All right. Scott Bowlesby from Tuscola County Advertiser and a Sandusky native graduate also. All right. We'll be right back. We're diving into high school eight player football. We'll be right back here. Thumb Sportsline Radio Show. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Thumb Sports Line Radio High School Sports Show. I'm Eddie Fury, your co-host, producer, your host, Mike Gallagher, biting into another thin crust.
Late dinner tonight.
Yes, yes. Well,
nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's with the Salem County News and your host for Sports Line Show. Ashley Winter-Palmer from Thumb Toe Getters Sports, also Salem Broadcasting, as well as Jonathan Bisher. How you doing, man? All right. What are you doing after the show?
Going to work fields.
What exactly are you going to be doing in the fields?
Working fields. Tillage.
Oh, okay.
Working them up.
Working fields. It's literally working fields.
Smelling. Okay. okay, we're going into the North Central Thumb League. Wow, what a season last year in for the Brown City Green Devils. However, they weren't in a league, right? They were in a league.
They were independent last year.
They were independent last year. Okay. Mm-hmm. So really didn't win a...
They were not in a league.
Not in a league. Didn't win a title, but went to the state semifinals and went up against a very hungry Martin team who proved...
A very good Martin team.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who they were. And they were great hosts, by the way.
Home of the Onion Kings.
Yeah. Yes. I have the shirt in my office. He went and dug one out and found one for us.
Yeah, I'm pretty upset I didn't get one.
Well, he said they all sold out pretty quick.
That makes sense.
That doesn't surprise me.
They were very cool shirts.
But it doesn't even fit me. It's just like a wall decoration. But they were
great
hosts.
It's going to be one of those jerseys he hangs in the glass case and hangs above.
Yeah, put it in the frame.
Yeah, it'd be right there with my Mrs. Fury's. I worship that woman, I tell you. All right.
Should.
Yeah, I should. Brown City now in the North Central Thumb League.
Stars.
Stars Division.
So added the Stars. Who went to the Stripes?
Well, the Peck Pirates are still in the Stripes.
Mm-hmm.
North Huron's still in the Stripes.
Auburn,
Oakland Christian's still in the Stars.
I think.
New Haven Merritt?
No, New Haven Merritt was in the Stripes. Yeah. I think somebody left. Genesee left the Stars because they went up to 11
players. Ah, that's where it is. I was trying to figure it out. I was stumped on that for 2 weeks.
So in the Stripes, it's Akron Fairgrove, Vikings, the Ashley Bears, named after Ashley, by the way. Bay City All-St. Cougars, named after... No, she's not a Cougar yet. Okay. Carsonville Port Salem Tigers.
Technically, I am because I'm older than my husband, but that's fine.
Caseville Eagles. North Huron Warriors, New Haven Merritt Mustangs, and the Peck Pirates in the Stripes Division. Over in the Stars Division, Auburn Hills, Oakland Christian Lancers, Brown City Green Devils now, Burton Atherton Wolverines, KPAC Chiefs, Dacreboe Eagles, Dryden Cardinals, Kingston Cardinals, and the Mayvale Goldie Hawn Wildcats. So that's who we have in the Stars. So let's get to it. We'll go into the Stars. Last year... In the start, well, let's we'll start with the Stars. Last year in the Stars division, your champions were the Kingston Cardinals, 9-1 overall, 6-0 in league play. Auburn Hills, Oakland Christian Lancers, 5-1, 8-2. I think they lost to Brown City in the playoffs, I believe. So
correct.
Yeah, and
regional.
Who was Kingston's loss last year?
Deckerville in the postseason.
Oh,
yeah, 14-8
through the regular season.
They were undefeated.
But they had injuries come up.
Yeah, yeah. Owen Corliss was injured in week 8, I think. They made it through week 9 without him, and then, you know, Deckerville kind of took advantage of that in the playoffs. But he'll be back this year.
And it looks like he is ready to rock and roll.
Yeah,
sounds of it.
Yeah, we've talked about it quite a bit, but I mean, going into the season, he's got to be our favorite for eight player
you know,
of the year.
We didn't mention that an 11 player. Who's our favorite, real quick? Who's our favorite in 11 player? We didn't mention that for player of the year.
I don't know, man.
I don't think we know yet.
Eight player is kind of
anything. See, that's Owen anything can happen because that's where a lot of the teams, you know, near the end of the season, the BWAC, some of the guys were only playing 50%. You know, they were injured at, near the end of the season. They were banged up.
I would say that an 11 player, we have our opportunity at our first ever repeat player of the year, though.
Yeah.
He is back. Evan Pruski was a player of the year last year. Yeah. He's back as a senior this year. He would be the first one to repeat as an award player of the year.
In his red shirt year?
In football. With that being said, Espinoza's out there.
I was gonna bring up Espinoza and Belly Grappi.
Yep, they're both hungry for it.
If Grappi stays healthy all season, he's my choice. Although Espinoza, you know, it'll be a 1A, 1B thing with
Riker
Cross
Wallace
X.
From Cassidy.
Yep, Riker Wallace.
He's gonna be one to watch out for.
Anybody from Sandusky?
Yeah, Marlette. I mean, Carter Krause could end up. I think Marlette, and this is not a bad thing, this is actually a good thing, they're a little bit too spread out on offense. They have too many different
kinda
options.
Kind of normally like an Ubley and a Harbor Beach.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Right.
Yep. Everybody's spread
Everybody touches
out.
The ball.
And I think one dark horse guy from North Branch we didn't mention, Mason Howe. Mm-hmm. He's one to watch out for. We're going to be really relying on for North Branch this year. So those are kind of your 11 player guys. Since we didn't,
I'm sure there's
a
Millington kid. We don't have Scotty on the line anymore, but I'm sure there's a Millington kid that we could put in the mix there.
Dallas Walsh.
Yeah. Dallas Walsh.
He's a big name out there. So there you go.
So back to a player, WHIP player of the year. I think Owen Corliss has a huge advantage right now. Huge advantage. As long as he stays healthy.
In 11 player, you know, you can throw out a couple different names. In 8 player, I think it's Owen Corliss and then everybody else a little bit.
Just
after.
Like how it's Kingston and everybody else, it kind of looks like.
So, yeah, let's go on that topic with the North Central 8-player Stars division. Who is the heavy favorites? Is it Kingston?
It's got to be Kingston with Owen Corliss. You know, 8-player football, it's a lot like 11-player except for one thing. You take your best athlete, you put him at quarterback because there's so much space, and that's exactly what Kingston's doing with Owen Corliss, and you've seen it over the years with success. You know, same thing with all these teams that run these deep playoffs is their quarterback's their best athlete. Last year with Brown City was a little bit of a fluke. They had two dynamic guys, so they put them at running back with Affer and Ford. That made them dangerous. But 90% of these 8-player teams take their best athlete. Mayville with Austin Middleton did it a few years ago, and they say, run wild. And Owen Corliss, this is your year to run wild. And I want to see what they have dialed up for him, because I think this could be a very special year for the kid.
And kind of, you know, the question out there is, does he have receivers also to spread that ball out instead of being solely dependent on Owen Corliss in the backfield?
I'm going to say yes, because Kingston seems like they always have athletes. Mm-hmm. For being such a small school, Kingston always produces athletes. They're always very competitive in basketball. They're very good in baseball. They always got this one star athlete and then a bunch of very good role players around them. So I'm going to imagine he's got some favorite targets out there. And I think there's a younger Corliss, too, if I remember correctly, that's pretty talented.
There's a younger Tanner James. He really stood out last year in the game against Deckerville defensively, I thought. Just a freshman, so he'll be back. I'm sure they'll be utilizing him offensively as well. Brandon Jones, a great offensive coach. You know, that type of spread offense that they run, the, you know, the option offense, you know.
Get the ball in the best athlete's hands in space and let him go to work.
Yep.
And that's one thing I love about 8-player football, man. You see some of these kill, you know, 11-player football around here in the Thumb is so run between the tackles, downhill power, 3 yards on a cloud of dust. 8-player football showing these small schools athletes skill sets that we didn't know they had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're all bottled up, and you take a if you've seen some of these small Division 8 schools in football, like USA, if they went 8-man, these kids like a Landon Russell with their athletic ability could possibly do in space is what we're seeing with Owen Corliss. And you just things you never thought you'd see in the Thumb are happening in 8-player football, and I am so grateful for that.
I think in the Stars division also, can the KPAC Chiefs make any moves this year?
KPAC
got a couple returning players there.
Yeah,
also.
they were over in Mayville last week for a scrimmage, which, first of all, Mayville looked awesome.
Did they?
Yeah, they looked very good offensively.
They've had the same coaching staff there for quite
Mike,
some time.
Mike Campbell's been there forever, and you know,
good coach.
He's a great coach. KPAC, I don't know a whole lot about KPAC, but
they ruffled some feathers last year.
They looked good.
They were in
they
games.
They looked good.
Yeah.
Despite their the record, you know.
I mean, they almost got that signature win right off the bat
over Deckerville.
Against Deckerville, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. They ruffled some feathers last year. They, you know, they didn't pull off the upsets, but they made some noise and said, you know, just because we were a walkthrough an 11 player doesn't mean we're going to be a walkthrough an 8 player. You know, we're going to make some noise, and I think we're going to maybe see them catch their footing in an 8 player, you know, this year now. Last year was a big – it's a learning curve going from 11 player to 8 player. A lot of – you don't see it with a lot of schools. You look at Adrian Lenaway Christian. What do? Jump down to 8-player and steamroll everybody for 5 years, you know. But then you get a K-Pack where they struggle in 11-player. It's a learning curve for them in 8-player, and maybe we might see the rise of them.
Yeah.
By the way, Kingston's, I think, the only team in Week 9 that kind of ventures out of the NCTL, plays a pretty tough team against Lenawee Christian, Adrian Lenawee Christian. I like that move, though.
I love it.
Yeah.
So. We talked about it in the Greater Thumb Conference with Harbor Beach going to play Mooney and Beale City, and Albany going to play Montrose and Everest. I love seeing these teams. Yeah, it's the bus ride stinks, but we love seeing these week one and week nine matchups against these other powerhouse
teams. It gives you that early playoff feel without actually having that playoffs. Kind of gets you almost amped for the playoffs.
Or week nine against Adrian Lenawee Christian, where Kingston, if they play like they could and steamroll everybody in the Stars, how good are you? You have no idea until you hit the playoffs.
Yeah.
Week nine, you're playing Adrian Lenawee Christian. You'll find out real fast if you can make a run after a state title.
Well, and then, you know, Auburn Hills, Oakland Christian is right there.
Yeah, that's the question mark. We don't really know anything about
And you
about
still have
them.
Deckerville, it's traditionally still a pretty decent team, 7-4 last year despite 4 losses.
Well, and
Deckerville, that's a team, they were so young last year, and you could see that at the beginning of the season. But when you watch them progress throughout the season, that's a testament to Bill Brown and Dan Brown, the coaches there. You know, they started the season 3-3, and, you know, people were kind of wondering, you know, is this the year Deckerville doesn't make the playoffs? We watched them struggle against K-Pac. They got, you know, blown out by Toledo. That ended up being a very good team. But they lost to Oakland Christian, and so you're sitting at 3-3, and they rattle off 4 wins to end the season. A win against a tough Mayville, a gutsy win against Atherton at the end, and then, of course, a 4 overtime game against Peck to secure a spot in the playoffs. And then once you get into the playoffs, you upset Kingston. So, you know, that was a team that showed so much improvement throughout the season, and I expect them to do the same thing this year. You know, they lost a couple of, you know, key pieces, Connor Palmer and Derek Osborne on the ends, but they returned a lot this year.
Quarterback Hunter Garza,
Peter Lapp, you know, that's going to be a big one because he was out with injury last year. And, you know, the crazy thing was last season at the end, it seemed like every week, you know, when they won those 4 straight games, we were talking about Dylan Ball and just ridiculous stat lines where he's carrying the ball 40 to 60 times a game. And, you know, it was the recipe for success at the end there. You got to find someone else to go along with him.
You talk about 40 to 60 times a game. That sounds a lot like Lakers and Ethan Wisner last
year.
Yep,
same deal.
They had a lot of injuries in playoffs. What do they do? They rode him to a district title. Mm-hmm. And dang, you're upset New Lothrop in the regional championship. And that's a big loss for Lakers, as I believe now we are joined by
Clark Ramsey from WWW Sports is with us right now. Clark, how are you doing?
Good. I'm looking for a 1991 GMC.
I think somebody already bought it. Actually, but if you happen to have a banjo with the Harbor Beach band there, you know,
the cattail.
I know you have a trumpet. So
say cattail bay mustache.
There you go. Yes.
There we go.
Yeah. How you doing, buddy?
Well, we're doing good. We're 2 days, 3 days away from football season. It's hard to believe, but here we are.
Yeah, we're talking NCTL 8-player, and you know, it looks like a really strong conference in 8-player football. I think probably one of the best right now overall in 8-player football. Brown City in the mix now. We were just talking about how we believe Kingston's one of the top teams, but you know, Deckerville seems to hang around themselves, 7-4. We're just talking about some of the returning players this year. They were a young team last year. Did they still have the size there, Mike?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Deckerville always has the size, yeah. And they got the numbers this year as well. So
give me your take there, Clark.
Well, it is always going to be hard to bet against Deckerville as long as they have the existence of their program as it is right now. Dave and I always kind of refer to Deckerville as going into Foxborough. You can win there, but it doesn't happen all too often. Mm-hmm. So you throw in that mentality with Deckerville. You've got the power and speed of Kingston. You know, you got Owen Corliss coming back, if I'm correct in saying that. Mm-hmm. I haven't fully researched the NCTL yet, so I apologize. But, and then you throw in Brown City. My, oh my, you've got a great-looking conference there.
Yeah, and with Brown City, speaking of Brown City, Mike, they obviously lost a lot through graduation, but they still have several players who were on the team last year but coming back this year. Having that success, going all the way to the state semifinals, felt great in your first year there as eight-player football. Now they're playing for an actual league title. Can they still compete?
Right, and I think with Brown City, like last year, that was their year to make that run to the state finals. You know, came up just short, but, you know, their entire offensive line has graduated. Both of their running backs have graduated. So the key to Brown City this year is going to be Lawson Cooper. He was the freshman quarterback last year. Didn't have to do a whole lot, obviously, because you have Kyle Affer and Clint Ford in the backfield with you. But he's going to be relied on more this year to be a playmaker. There's a couple of other names that have popped up with Brown City. Connor Vandenberg, he'll be playing running back. Briar Halbert, I think he could have a big season at running back as well. He's kind of got the build of Kyle Affer. So, you know, he's going to be an option. Ethan Worrell, he's going to be an option in the backfield.
He played some quarterback, too.
He played some quarterback, yep. So, you know, you lose a lot for Brown City, but it's not like there's nothing there. You know, they got a lot of great coaches there at Brown City, Aaron Cooper, Jimmy Sheridan. They're going to be back, and the fact that they're going to have something to compete for this year in the regular season, I think that's going to be good for the program. So don't sleep on Brown City. I don't know that they're, you know, at the same level as Kingston or Deckerville, but the nice thing about the season is we get to find out because they're in the NCTL Stars. So
yeah, I know that their conditioning's, you know, well-run program also. The weight training program went well.
Yep,
also.
Yep, and I was at the Green and White scrimmage last week, and it was varsity JV, and I counted 32 kids. So, I mean, participation's up. They got the numbers.
That's better numbers than some 8-player team or 11-player
yes,
teams.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, football is alive and well in Brown City, so you can't write them off.
Who is the largest team in 8-player football for NCTL? Is it Brown City?
K-Pack or Brown City?
Yeah.
Yeah, it might be Brown City. I think Brown City might actually be over the number for the cutoff.
Okay.
But, you know, you get that one-year grace period. So I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure they're either really close or they're over it.
All right,
so
I got one question for Clark while we got him on air. Clark, we just mentioned before you got on our 8-player of the year favorites and our 11-player of the year favorites. Who do you have for a favorite and 11-player this year? I know that's kind of your specialty up there, and Huron County doesn't have very many 8-player schools, only two, so it's much more a focus on 11-player there.
Tom Green.
It's a great pick.
I think you could beat him in pickleball.
Hey, I played quite well tonight. Thank you very much. As far as 11 player football player of the year, at least early on, I mean, it's hard to go against Evan Peruski. We saw what he did as a sophomore. We saw what he did as a freshman. We saw what he did as a sophomore. We saw what he did as a junior. Now he's a senior. The question is, can all those pieces fall in place? Sometimes, you know, when you have such a good junior year, sometimes there's a little bit of a lull. You know, there's also a drop in air pressure, and you drop a few feet. Is that going to happen with Evan Peruski or not? I don't know. We will see. I mean, of course, well, if Mike Gallagher can be a homer, I mean, as sports director, editor, you have to say Brown City. Mm-hmm. Then I'll say Harbor Beach as well with Benson Harper. I mean, the kid is an athlete, and he's only a sophomore. If you're looking for unbelievable passes and catches and plays for the top 10, you know, you're certainly going to have Benson Harper in that conversation, but I still think it's Evan Peruski for 11-player football.
Okay. All right. Your game of the week is what this week for WOW Sports?
We have Bad Axe at Cass City on Thursday.
And what's your preview of that one with them two flip-flopping east to west, each respectfully?
Well, yeah, they're flip-flopping east and west, but they're also kind of flip-flopping in directions a little bit. You have Bad Axe that lost, I do believe it's 15 of their 22 starters.
Wow.
And then you have Cass City that's losing just 4.5 of their 22 starters. So you have kind of, and then you have Cass City, who's, you know, Scott Cuthrell, 21 years at the helm, over 23 years. And then you've got Bad Axe, which has, I do believe, 4 or 5 head coaches in 5 years. So our 4 head coaches in 5 years, I do believe it is. So there's going to be a learning curve. Yeah, there's going to be a learning curve in there. But Bad Axe, they're going to turn some heads. They're going to play some sort of factor in the Greater Eartham West. I don't know what that's going to look like, but I foresee Cass City kind of getting out early and just kind of pulling a a Mark D'Antonio and just kind of sitting on a 3-score lead for the rest of the game a little bit. But Bad X, you never know. Nick Gibbard, I mean, he knows the kids. He's been around the program for how many years? I mean, practically for as long as these kids have been alive. And so he knows what to get out of them, and that's why they play the game. I'm just trying to use as many cliches as possible here.
Clark, I'm just interested to know, what are your thoughts on who's going to come out on top on the East and in the West? Because we talked a little bit about it in the first hour.
I'm gonna throw a chalk line down here a little bit, but I'm gonna, you know, when it comes out of the East, it's gonna be Harbor Reach and US or Harbor Reach and Upley.
No, USA.
I'll say that's polar opposite directions. Cardinal directions, man. Yeah. You learn those in second grade.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, Cassidy was in the East last year too. So, as far as the West goes, it's gonna be Lakers and Cassidy. Those two games will decide. I still think Upley has the upper hand over Harbor Reach, just based on. Until Harbor Reach can prove that they can stop, you know, a fullback trap, I will always give the advantage to Upley. In the Greater Thumb West, you look at what Lakers has built, you certainly look like Lakers could do something there.
Yeah, they built a legacy center.
But, that's very true. We're a center around legacies. But Ethan Wisner is one heck of a person to replace. He lost Michael Gooden, not to mention Braun on the line. There's a lot of big bodies that they lost as well. Cassidy, if you look at Cassidy's history over the years, Cassidy only has 2 district championships in school history. They only have 2 regional championships in school history, and that came in the last 5 years. Will Cassidy continue to find those extra inches to get them over the hump, find those championships, or will they kind of meander in that area where they go out and they win the games they should win and then find 1 or 2 more wins on top of that? And that comes down to that Lakers game. And they certainly have the tools to do it, but it all depends if everything falls in place and how angry Lakers is at Cassidy. That's always a great rivalry.
I had a question for these guys and posed it to them. Is it possible for Upley to make a 5th straight semifinal?
Well, Eddie, you still have a job, so anything's possible.
yeah. Quite legendary.
I would say it's certainly possible. It's certainly possible. It all depends on the mesh of the team. Losing Jim Becker as your defensive coordinator, that's a loss. That is a big loss, and I don't think that's ever going to be underestimated there by that program. They certainly know where they're at and what they need to do and how they're going to get there, and they're going to run the same 6 plays to get there as well. So, state semifinals, yeah, it's certainly possible. I see them getting to the regional championship for sure, and then state semis, you know, it's kind of a toss-up, and I will always bet on a Wing T team in the regional championship, because what's the weather look like normally in that week? It's going to be horrible, you know, unless you believe in global warming. Upley always rolls through their teams in the regional championship just because they are absolutely steamrolling by that time. They've had 13 or 12 weeks to get everything in line, and then throwing the weather on top of that, and teams aren't able to find the ball. And before you know it, it's 21 or 28 nothing, and all of a sudden, you know, the rest is history. So it's certainly possible. It just depends. Division 8, though, looks a lot more difficult this year with certainly the likes of King County Central. You know, New Lothrop is coming down lower. You've got a lot of big teams that they're going to have to overcome. But another cliche, to be the best, you got to beat the best.
Also, looking ahead many years, maybe in about 18 years here or less, will we see a Ramsey in the backfield of Harbor Beach or a Hanson
less than 18
in Harbor Beach?
Well, you'll see a Ramsey in the backfield in about 3 years.
3 years, yep.
Okay.
Yeah, my nephew Landon Ramsey. He's 8th grader this year at Harbor Beach, and he's starting outside linebacker and halfback. So he's pretty excited.
Does he have a height like you?
We infused 2 and maybe even 3 generations of athleticism inside the Ramsey family and put in 1 kid. I can call a game like no other, but I cannot play football worth a darn. So we're all putting all of our bets on Landon Ramsey.
Well, we hope the best for him.
All right.
Yes, and please pray for him. Yeah.
And who do you have for your broadcast team? It's the same crew there?
Oh, well, at this point, just say a lot of names, and I'll say yes. You'll see how many people we have. But So it'll be myself and Dave Hansen. You'll hear us on air. And then behind the scenes, you got Dan Banky, the best spotter this side of Colwood, Michigan. And then we have Doug Cole, our director of sports information, making his way from Livonia, Michigan. And then we have an intern, a self position of Kendall Anthus. He's joining us back again this year. Now, I will say, Scott Bowlesby and Caro and crew just tried to steal Kendall Anthus from us, but then he decided, you know, he had a little bit of a LeBron James decision ceremony, and he chose us. So we're grateful for that.
All right. All right. Thank you, Clark. Good luck in the rest of the season. I hope to run into you guys once again this year as usual.
Yeah, sounds good. You sound great, guys. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Bless you.
Thanks, Clark.
Bye.
All right, that's his. It's always great to talk to him. Our Thumb Sports Writers Media Association, great organization here, folks. One of the best, I say, tops hands down in the area of coverage. So you know, the way we share info and just try to get the kids covered.
The way we all stay in touch with each other.
Yeah,
you know, so, we do get off topic.
It's
we do
too
get
much.
We do get off topic, but yeah. Just the information that yeah. is all shared with us. You know, today I was going over some prep work and. Scotty's covering North Branch, and I can just go to Scott. Hey, what do you know about North Branch? Mm-hmm. And he's not like, well, I'm not sharing my info with you. He's open arms, like, hey, this is what I got. This is what you should see, stuff like that. And Mike, you're the same way. Paul's the same way up in Huron County. Everybody just shares information to try to make Thumb football really, well, Thumb sports in general, not just be so regionalized to the Thumb, but maybe known someday statewide. And I'd say that's happening. You know, we've made some great runs volleyball over the past couple of years. North Branch, Reese, Cass
City. Just look at the playoffs alone.
Yeah.
Thumb teams, you know.
I think, you know, the Thumb sports writers around here, we kind of have a chip on our shoulder a little bit because we kind of, you know, the Thumb gets ignored.
By AP.
By, you know, a lot of people throughout the state. When in reality, you know, there's a lot of great athletes here and there's a lot of great kids here. And, you know, just because people around the state may not care about the Thumb or care about Thumb sports, you know, that just makes our job that much more important.
And that shows with the all-star turnout that we had in June. You know, we had a record-setting year with the all-star turnout in June here. And we can't thank our fans enough in the area for you guys. And as you guys listening that really help us, really help these kids become something, you know. A lot of these kids are like us. They're going to end up, they're going to grow up, they're going to stay in the area, they're going to have a family. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to be average working people, and you know, sometimes these are the highlights of them, so we give it to the best of them that we can. You know, we give them the coverage that they deserve.
And we appreciate everybody who shares or likes or sends our stuff out for us, because that really helps spread the word and get everything out. We should have some graphics and stuff, and we always try to share everybody else's stuff. So mm-hmm.
Okay, and coaches and assistant coaches and the stat keepers, please send your info in so we can have this show ready by Monday. I know we'll give you the day off at least on Friday night, late night. Just try to get it in, and
you got till Sunday afternoon.
We kind of need that info to get the show going here. So I'll put on my email, meaning that I'm taking over the coverage on that one of the many hats that I'm wearing here. So all right, now let's not leave out the Stripes, the Pack Pirates, and the NCTL Stripes division. I mean, you know, there's eight teams, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Teams, I believe, and the Stars, am I doing my math right? Yeah, 7 teams in East Division right now. But again, a little bit different this year. Peck is in the Stripes Division as well as North Huron, Ashley Bears, Akron Fairgrove, CPS Tigers, Casefield Eagles, New Haven Mustangs, and the Peck Pirates. Peck Pirates under a new head coach. You kind of have to look to them, you know, as the forefront for the NCTL Stripes, but North Huron seems to hang around. They were a couple years ago. They had a bit of a setback last year. Whole new change over there, but you know, new younger kids coming into play. But they have a year under them now.
Yeah.
They have some experience come back, as well as Peck.
Yeah, and before we get too far into the Stripes, I think Paul Adams is going to join us.
Oh, he's the perfect one to talk about the Stripes. Yeah, he's got knowledge up the wazoo.
Yeah.
Okay, and we're talking about the NCTL Stripes. Paul, are you there?
I'm here.
There
you know, I was just listening to you guys, and I was like a proud Papa Bear when you guys were going on and on about the Thumb Sports Writers Association. So keep going on, but you guys are spot on.
You've instilled it in my brain since day one, Paul.
You know, you know what you guys said is all true. I couldn't have imagined when we started this thing back in 2004, 2005. That it would evolve into what it is now, where, you know, like JB was saying, you know, everybody's in touch and it's all sharing. between the three counties just to promote the kids in this area. Somebody touched on it. The Thumb Sports Writers was founded out of frustration because the Thumb was continually overlooked. And we just, when you look back, Dave Bosick, myself, Chad Winger, Chris O'Grisky, you know, some of those early founders, we just took it upon ourselves to say, if people from outside the Thumb are going to ignore us, then we're just going to take care of ourselves. And that's what the Thumb Sports Writers has evolved in. I couldn't be any more proud of what we've become. And I think we're still scratching the surface. I mean, you know, it's in the planning stages now, but in 2025 is going to be our 20th anniversary. We're going to launch a Hall of Fame. And we've got some other things, you know, coming down the pipe for that. So, you know, we've got some really big things. The Thumb Sports Writers Association just keeps continuing to grow. So I just wanted to touch on that before you guys, you know, before we talk a little football.
All right. We're in our last segment here with the North Central Thumb League Stripes Division. North Heron, a little bit of a setback last year. Peck is in us. Who's the top team, you think, you know, along with the All Saints Cougars? Peck Pirates obviously has the experience. We'll see what they can do this year in the Stripes Division. But will North Heron bounce back compared to last season?
You know, the thing with eight-player football is it's so difficult to predict from year to year because eight-player football is really about one or two great athletes. And you look at Peck last year, you know, that was one of the greatest performances we've ever seen in the entire state, what Lettner did. You know, I think the Stripes is open. I think the Stripes is open for business. North Heron could bounce back. Their numbers are up. They did lose a pretty good senior class. Akron Fairgrove's a sleeper. I think Caseville's going to win some a game, maybe a couple games this year. but it's really difficult to put a finger on who's the team to beat because the rosters change over so much, and it matters so much more in eight-player football than it matters in 11-player football.
Yeah, with the numbers being so small, also in eight-player games, but this Stripes division is usually considered the smaller division. The amount losing a player here or there, and if you have a JV program, you have to bring some of those players, but sometimes a little too young and too small to come up to that level. You mentioned North Heron. Do they have the numbers? And does Akron Fairgrove have the numbers? And does Caseville have the numbers? Where we won't, or even CPS, Mike, where we don't see maybe a forfeit or so here because of the numbers, and you don't want the kids getting hurt because we've seen that a couple times last year.
Yeah. I can say this: Caseville's got the best numbers I've seen ever. They've got a solid 17 or 18 guys this year, which I think is outstanding for a team like Caseville. North Heron's numbers are up by at least 4, 5, 6 guys this year. So numbers are up. There's JV programs are a thing of the past, but you know, in my county, Caseville and North Heron have very healthy numbers, and that should translate to some success on the field.
Hey, Caseville also probably has the fastest player in eight-player football right now.
Well, there's no question about that. Caseville does have the fastest player with Nathan Feltner. And as I drive down my street, there is Mike Clark Ramsey leaving his house. we are neighbors, by the way. Now,
oh really?
Yeah, huh. He lives exactly 6 houses down.
Well, Caseville's got to work off the cheeseburgers too, you know. So mm-hmm. That just
yeah,
happened
but
here.
No. JV touched on it. Nathan Feltner is an absolute game changer. There is nobody in the league or in the area for that matter who's faster than Nathan Feltner. So if this kid gets an open space, look out. He is absolute, just a game changing speed and an X factor that really can't be matched by a lot of teams. So I saw him last year against a good North Heron, I think it was 2 years ago, against a really good North Heron team. That was a great North Heron team. They're starting defense. Feltner bounced one out to the outside. He was gone. And it was a legitimate touchdown against North Heron's number one defense. And that was the year they won Team of the Year. So, I think one thing I talked to with Coach Sam Rogers over in Caseville is, you know, they've been continually young. You know, they've thrown freshmen and sophomores into the fold. Well, those freshmen and sophomores are now juniors and seniors, and I think you're going to see that progression pay off for Caseville finally. I think, you know, these kids are mature and they've come up enough to where Caseville's going to be fairly competitive. I think North Huron, could make a case for the NCTL stretch this year.
The only loss in regular season, Mike, for Peck was against Brown City back in week one, and that's who they meet this week. Our game of the week on Thursday on St. Lake Broadcast at 92.5 FM. And, you know, but they're under a new head coach. Are they going to keep the same system here coming in?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with losing Rob McDaniel was he was such a good X's and O's coach. And with the new coach, C.J. Wendell, you know, I don't know as much about what his X's and O's are going to be. He's coached for 20 years. He's coached at various different levels. For the past few years, he was a defensive backs coach for the varsity team at Port Huron High. So he has the experience. But what, you know, he may not lack in the X's and O's compared to Rob McDaniel, he's going to make up for in the weight room. He actually started the powerlifting program at Peck back in the winter. And over the summer, he's had 20 to 25 kids at all of the summer workout stuff. So he's getting these kids in the weight room. The kids are buying in to what he's selling. And, you know, yeah, they lose Caleb Lettner. They lose Steven Van Conant. He was our 8-player defensive player of the year. And they lose their quarterback in Brady Babcock. But that's all they lose. And I know, you know, saying
that's all they lose.
Right,
just
that's
their
all
four main players.
Yeah,
just...
yeah. But their entire offensive line is back. If they and that's an offensive line. They've been together, you know, since their freshman and sophomore years. So if you find that running back to put behind them, it sounds like it may be Carson Liebling, the kid from the
I remember.
I figured you'd remember him.
You
yeah.
said that name and went ding. Who's their quarterback gonna be then?
You know, he had a couple different names that he was thinking about for quarterback. And it seems like it could be Cal Hayden.
He was an excellent defender in basketball.
Yes, he was.
As a
yeah.
underclassman.
It's yep. good to have some choices, though.
So. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, and the nice thing about having choices is if the injury bug bites you,
yeah.
you got people that you can throw in there. You know, you're not one-dimensional, reliant on people. You know, that's the thing about Kingston, and we saw it last year. Owen Corliss was the show for Kingston, got hurt, and they didn't know what to do. Peck sounds like they got options. And if somebody does get hurt, well, then it's just the next guy steps in and you don't miss a beat. So 8-player football, like Paul says, is Caseville's got this Nathan Feltner kid and he can run out of the wind. But if he gets hurt, what happens to them? Mm-hmm. Peck's got options. Deckerville's got options. Brown City's got options. So just because you're 8-player football and you want your best athlete with the hands on the ball all the time doesn't mean you want to be solely reliant on that person.
Yeah, and, you know, you can't blame Peck for, you know, giving Caleb Lettner the ball every time.
Oh, not at all. I would have done the same thing.
But Coach Wendell, you know, he's talked about having a more balanced attack offensively, and, you know, I think that'll pay off for Peck.
Okay, Carson with Port Sanic, do they have the numbers?
That's the unfortunate thing for CPS. They have good players. They just don't have the numbers. You know, I mentioned the scrimmage at Mayville last week. Mm-hmm. They had 9 kids there. When we did the team photo, they had 8 kids. They were missing a couple. I don't know if that number is going to be at 9, 10, or 11 going into the regular season.
You'd think they got to be at least 11 or 12 to have the season.
And it's unfortunate because the kids that they do have the talent. But you can't go through an entire season with 9 kids.
No.
Now, if you get a couple more kids out, you know, this is a team... You know, they won 3 games last year. This was a program that was trending in the right direction. Yep. And I think the program still is trending in the right direction. It's just the numbers aren't quite there.
You know, this is a team that really makes me, if they're not going to have the numbers, instead of playing this waiting game all year and dragging it out, oh, we might have enough. It's going to be close. Either pull the plug with it and go co-op with Peck like you did in baseball and try to build a super house power team between the two schools and be proud of it, or just say, you know what? We're going to have a team, and we're going to build this program. It's got to be one or the other. It's this waiting game. It really affects these other teams, too, scheduling-wise. I mean, if you're Peck and you got CPS scheduled for week 6 or whatever it is, and all of a sudden they fold, well, then who are you picking up for a game? Because you'd rather play than not play
Okay, Paul, so we have Peck Pirates North Heron right there up top. All St. Cougars, you think they're the third-place team? Or does the Mustangs in New Haven or Akron Fargo Vikings make some noise along with Ashley Bears?
Well, let me tell you, Eddie, I barely know my own team. You're actually mentioning All Saints and New Haven Merritt. I have no idea about those teams. I will say this. A team that I do know a little bit about is Akron Fargo. I really do think that that team could be a wild card factor when it does come, you know, when it comes to the NCTL stripes. I'm not saying they could win it, but they could play a factor in who does win it. They are very well, I think, capable of rising up a little bit. They played North here on tooth and nail last year. Didn't lose much off that team. I think that's a team that could really be on the uptick. But as far as the rest of the stripes, like New Haven, All Saints, those teams change so much from week to week. Mm-hmm. Unless you're absolutely involved in those teams, there's no way to know what they're going to be until you play them.
Okay, Paul Adams, you get the Viking horn. You get the Viking horn.
I appreciate that.
It's an evil horn. Okay. And you get a mulligan for calling in on the golf course at Ugly Heights, by the way. So, thank you.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yes, thank you.
Paul doesn't need the mulligan. I do.
Real quick before we...
We haven't even talked about the biggest game going on right now.
Yes.
Which is the fantasy championship between yours truly and Jonathan Bisher in fantasy baseball.
I am winning 1.5-0 right now.
Okay. Is there still players?
That's the game that's going on right now.
Yeah, we're okay. Fantasy baseball, our championship is this week.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Already, huh? So, speaking of championships, congratulations, Jonathan Bisher, on winning the senior league bowling title at Melody Lanes in Deckerville.
That was so long ago.
Yeah.
I've never heard that before.
Really?
Hey, Paul, I'm up 2.5-2 now.
So.
Oh, it's over.
Okay. We'll see.
Sound the horn, it's over.
Yeah, and speaking of over, the show's over for our first football talk here for the Thumb Sports Line Radio High School Sports Show. Thank you for everybody participating. Thank you, Paul, for calling in and listening also, and to everybody else.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Thanks, Paul.
We'll talk to you later in the season.
Eddie, I know you want to wrap it up, but while we were talking about CPS,
yes.
I do want to say I think they beat Dryden week one. I think
they
have the talent there. Their entire offensive line is back. They got two juniors at the guard position. They got a four-year starter at center. They got a good quarterback. That's why it's so disappointing to see the numbers, because I think CPS is a good team. I think they beat Dryden week one. Dryden is just coming back to playing football. They had co-opted with Emily City for the past couple seasons. So, again, I've been biased, and I've been a homer all
That's
episode.
That's okay. Yeah. I approve.
Totally fine.
You made the bold statement of
Give
picking.
Give me CPS in
totally
week
fine.
One.
You made the bold statement of picking Marlette to win the Greater Thumb East.
They're winning the state title, too. How about that?
By the way, look at this.
Let's Akron call Fargo. Vegas and
in
place
week
the best.
One, in the stripes, Akron Fargo Vikings up against Kingston,
Ooh.
Caseville against Mayville,
Ooh.
Ashley against Deckerville,
Ooh.
CPS against Dryden. That's your upset pick.
It's not an upset, buddy.
Auburn Hills Oakland Christian up against All Saints.
I'm going to say the Stripes is going to go 7-1 with their lone
You're
ball.
You're saying
Dryden.
Somebody
Thank
from the Stripes
you.
Is going to come out a winner, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
And it's going to be CPS. Yes.
All the way from SPSU. By the way, Mrs. Fury graduate from there with her bachelor's degree in nursing. Ashley Rayner Palmer coming from SPSU from the offices, right?
Yeah, came made the long trek.
All right. Thank you for coming in, everybody. Yeah. Good luck and have fun at the games, and good luck to the athletes, the coaches also. Thank you for tuning in. And every Monday evening, 5:30 p.m. till whenever, like right now, the Thumb Sports Line Radio High School Sports Show here on WMIC AM 660, 95.3 FM, and streaming online at sandlakebroadcasting.com. Thank you for tuning in. Next Monday, recap.
Next week, we're getting into volleyball. We're getting into cross country.
Yep.
We're getting into girls golf. We're getting into everything. It's not just going to be football. We're gonna do it all, Eddie.
We're going to have all that for you. And we'll have all our contributors calling in. So thank you. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, listeners. Thank you for tuning in. In progress, the Jesse Kelly Show coming up.